He is risen. So this morning I want us to think about this whole thing of why resurrection. And I want to start us out by just asking us this question. What has the, and I, when I'm talking about this, I'm not just talking about knowing facts. I want to know, what has the resurrection done for you and me personally? Has it made any difference in my life? If I only knew the facts about resurrection, would that be enough? Or has the resurrection actually done something for me? What's it doing today? So just because it did something for me one time, what's it doing for me today? Today's Easter. We're talking about resurrection. Is resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, doing anything in my heart, in my life today? Because as we look into the scriptures, we see that that's important. What's it going to do in the future? So in our lives, the resurrection, what's going on? Past, present, future. What does it really matter? Why does it matter? Seriously, we could come here and have church this morning, this Easter Sunday morning. We could come here and have church, whether Jesus raised from the dead or didn't raise from the dead, would that change anything in what we do? What more important reality is there? I just want us to think about these things this morning. I want to talk about a number of things. It was interesting to me as I started looking through the scriptures, and especially in the Acts and into the letters that are written to the churches, how often the scriptures talk about the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead. God raised Jesus, and the scriptures tell us a number of things that this means for us. So we looked at the crucifixion, the blood, and his shed blood and broken body the other evening, what that means for us. But this morning we want to look at the resurrection and what it means for us personally. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, Paul says, whom God, and actually Peter here, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It was not possible that death should hold him. So he was released. He broke the bonds, the chains of death. And you and I have that same opportunity through his resurrection. We have, through the resurrection, the sure mercies of David. God had promised David sure mercies. He said, David, there's going to be a man that's going to sit on the throne from your family forever. Ever and ever. No end. And so it's important for God to continue those sure mercies. And those sure mercies that we experience today are a result of that. Concerning him that raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I'll give you the sure mercies of David. Now, one of the reasons, and you don't have to read very far in the book of Acts, and you begin to realize that Paul and the others, Peter, the others, when they began to preach, there was two things that got everybody just riled up and just spitting mad. One was when they talked about going to the Gentiles. The other was when they talked about resurrection. Oh, people just came unglued. You remember on Mars Hill, the philosophers there, Paul talked to them and he said, you know, you're worshiping this God that is resurrected. He rose from the dead. And they're like, ah, yeah, right, Paul. What have you been smoking? No. Yeah, you know, they listen. It says they listened to him to that point, and then they were done. There were a few that said we'd like to hear a little bit more about it. But this thing is important because the reality of judgment comes out of the resurrection. Because he has appointed a day, Acts 17:31, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he ordained. Whereof, the reality of judgment, he has given us assurance. We know for a fact it is going to happen because he raised him from the dead. How would Jesus have given judgment if he was still dead? But God raised him from the dead. Oh, we interrupt this Passover programming to bring you a special news update. There's been a lot of things happening in our city. The Passover is happening. There's so many people here. And they've come from all over, and there are so many things that have been happening, just unusual things. There was this huge earthquake about 3 days ago, and you know we just don't know what all has been happening because something happened. They had to shut down the temple after that earthquake, and The temple police, the chief priests, the Roman, everybody's looking into this. We've got our reporters out checking things out. Right now we've got Shamuel on the line. Shamuel, what are you seeing? What? You're kidding. Shamuel, do you have witnesses? Lamech? You're talking the guy before the flood, he was there? People saw him? Shamuel, come on, man. You know these people that come in from the hills, they got this big imagination, and, you know, some of them don't have all their ducks swimming in the same pond, and you just, Shamuel, come on, man. Jonathan, What are you hearing? What? Boaz? You're talking Boaz, Obed, Jesse, David? Boaz? Somebody saw him? You've got three witnesses? What? Come on, man. What is going on? I'm sorry, folks. We have people looking into these things, and we'll be giving you an update later. Through the resurrection, we have justification. Now, we talked about how the blood, the other evening, the broken body and the shed blood justify us, make us right. Make us just before God. And I didn't mention it then, but one of the things that where we get that concept from is Belteshazzar. You remember when the finger wrote on the wall, when Belteshazzar was having his party and he was using God's vessels from the temple to participate in their debaucherous religion. And God wrote on the wall of the house there where they were having their party. And he said, you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. You are unjustified. You are judged. And you are judged unjust. And so we talked about justification. but for us also, Romans 4, 24 and 25, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. He was there before Pilate, before the chief priest, before the crowd. He was put on the cross for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. So our justification hinges on the shed blood and broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Chad asked us about that this morning, how important the resurrection is. Here is something that clinches the importance of it. If Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, you and I cannot be justified. It's part of the legal process that has to go on before God. We have new life with him through his resurrection. Romans chapter 6, 4 and 5. We are buried with him by baptism into death. So like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He was raised up to new life. And he brought a number, we'll talk about that more, but he brought a number with him when he was raised to new life. And we also should walk in newness of life, that resurrection life. Since we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you go into Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, you understand this. Paul talks about how we plant a seed, and there's different kinds of seeds, and the different kinds of seeds bring forth different kinds of things. But the thing that grows out of the seed doesn't even look like the seed. It's altogether different. And so he says, when we are planted into his death, we'll be raised into the likeness of his resurrection. So we're planted, and he talks about that, we're planted mortal, we'll be raised immortal. We're planted corruptible, we'll be raised incorruptible. All of those things that happen through the resurrection. Through the resurrection, dominion is broken. Knowing, Romans 6, 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Why does Christ not die anymore? Lazarus got raised from the dead. He died again. There were others on Easter Sunday that got raised from the dead. They died again. Why did Jesus not die again? Because death has no more say over him. No more dominion. No more power. No more control. Death does not have that. And the same thing is true for you and I. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Every enemy is defeated. Jesus Christ has placed his foot on the neck of all his enemies. Everyone is placed under his feet. He made a show of them openly, made fun of them openly by putting them under his feet. But they're not all destroyed. They're all defeated, but they're not all destroyed. Death, as far as Christ is concerned, is defeated and destroyed. But as far as we are concerned, death remains to be destroyed. The resurrection gives our mortal bodies life. Now, I want you to understand this. When we start talking about resurrection, we often are thinking future. We're often thinking about something that's going to happen, and that's part of it. But that's not all of it. So Paul writes in Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead lives in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead will make your mortal body alive by the Spirit that dwells in you. So I asked you what effect the resurrection's having in your life today. Here's the answer that needs to happen. The Spirit of God needs to be at work in this mortal body, making it alive unto God, so that our mortal bodies are filled with worship, are filled with obedience, are filled with sacrifice, are filled with awe. Something I came across this week, I wasn't intending to say this, but it fits here. Lynn and I were talking about it just a bit there at breakfast, is that there's an order that has to happen in our lives. Number one has to be the presence of God. Number two has to be the Word of God. And number three has to be that outworking of that Word in our lives. This book, without the presence of Almighty God, is not alive. The presence of God has to come. So he says, the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, if He dwells in you, the presence, the Spirit is the presence of God, if He dwells in you, He'll make your body come alive. The Word will take effect. It will bring forth fruit. It will grow. It will prosper in the thing whereto God sent it. Oh, newsflash, earthquake. Chad's not trying to trigger you. Earthquake, earthquake. I woke up this morning. Well, I actually woke up last. I went to bed kind of early. I woke up about 11. And I was wide awake. And I was laying there, and the Lord was just showing me some things, some beautiful things. And one of the things that I began to realize as I was laying there was, there was an earthquake when Christ died. The graves were opened. Jesus died. The graves were opened. The veil was rent. Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth and preached to the captives in prison, broke the gates of hell. No wonder there was an earthquake. When there's an earthquake, there's slippage in the plains. And when the King of all, the Creator of the earth, the Lord of lords, entered into the lower parts of the earth, there was some shifting and some slippage that started happening there, and an earthquake happened. And He defeated death and hell and the grave, and He brought with Him a number of saints as He rose from the dead. And as He burst back into planet Earth, into our presence, there was another huge earthquake. It says it was a great earthquake there where Marcus read this morning. When Mary and those were coming to the tomb and wondering how the stone was going to roll away, there was a great earthquake. When Jesus came back through those layers of earth, they shifted again. They couldn't stay in place with the presence of that power. And so there was these earthquakes that were happening because there was shifting, there was change, things were happening in the heavenlies. Things of eternal consequence. Resurrection has to do with our salvation. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. The resurrection is a key element of Christian faith. And that's why you see, when you read through the book of Acts, one of the very first things they began to preach when they entered into sharing the gospel with those that hadn't heard was the resurrection. The resurrection is what gives the gospel life and power. It's for us too. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. It's going to be a family thing. All that are called, all that are chosen, all that are redeemed, all that are resurrected, all that have chosen Christ and Christ has chosen are going to be raised up by Jesus. Those that have the Spirit indwelling them and have the life of Christ in this mortal body will be together for eternity. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, when is that verse? Past, present, or future? Yeah, you're right. Past, present, and future. But it's speaking about now. He has raised us up, that's past, together, and has made us sit together in heavenly places, that's now, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He has raised us up together in Christ. Oh, newsflash. We interrupt our programming, Passover programming, to bring you this update. We have just received word from the temple police and the chief priests that they have discovered the meaning of this uproar. It seems as though the disciples came and stole Jesus' body. We've verified this with the Roman police. We've verified this with the temple police. And our own reporters are reporting this as well. So we want you to understand. Don't be alarmed. Don't believe all these rumors that you're hearing across the city about a resurrection. We know what's going on. So we just needed to update you with that. Thank you. The resurrection delivers us from wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, which delivered us from the wrath to come. When I hear that, I think about Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim was fleeing from the wrath to come. And the resurrection gave him power to avoid the wrath to come. He's delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, one of the things that I want us to notice, and this has been so meaningful, so beautiful to me. I pray this prayer over a number of people. I prayed it over a number of you, whether you knew it or not. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, Paul is praying a prayer for the church. And he says, I pray that God would give this to you, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, in other words, light enters your soul, enters your spirit, that you may know. And this know is relational, experiential. It's not head knowledge. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, the confidence of his calling. Are you confident that God has called you? What's He called you for? What's He called you to? If we haven't been called, then we haven't been chosen. And if we haven't been chosen, we're not a part. Paul says, I want you to know the confidence of your calling, the hope. That hope is not wishful thinking, it's confidence. I want you to know the confidence of your calling. That God Almighty, the one that raised Jesus from the dead, has called you. Every one of us has been called and chosen and accepted in the Beloved if we're in Christ. And secondly, I want you to know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I feel bad for many people walking around with their chin dragging in the mud. The world couldn't get much worse. They just don't know how they're going to make it. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's just a miserable life, and I just can't wait to get out of here. Wait a minute. Paul says, I am praying that you would know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. In Jesus Christ, I am rich. Does it mean I'm going to have any money? No. I'm rich. I have an inheritance that's coming to me that's out of this world. And I'm able to experience the down payment of it now. The down payment is the Holy Spirit. So if the down payment is the Holy Spirit, what in the world is the whole inheritance going to be? Paul says, I want you to know this. I want you to understand this. And third, I want you to understand the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. And again, here's Paul. He could have said, I want you to know His power to us who believe, but he doesn't say it like that. That's not Paul. He says, I want you to know the greatness of His power. Not just that, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of His power. Exceeding. When you take exceeding and put it in front of greatness, that's pretty big. It's really big. And He's saying, I want you to know this power for us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Not out of the working, according to the working. I've explained that before. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Paul says, I want you to know that power. So I'm asking you today, on the basis of these three things, the hope of calling, the riches of inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of His power, what's the resurrection doing for you? Right now, today, in your life, every day. It's easy to talk about resurrection when we get together on Easter Sunday. But what's it really mean? It's interesting, Peter picks up these same three things that Paul just talked about. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. That hope that's alive, that's active, that's growing, that's organic. It's not something just sitting there. It's something that's causing new life to happen. Something that's growing by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it won't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Does that mean all the inheritance is in heaven? No. But it means it's kept there in heaven. So the Holy Spirit is part of that inheritance now. The gifts and the number of things that we have received from God are part of the inheritance that He's giving to His children. And Peter says that inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It won't fade away. So when Peter and John went to the lame man, they said, "Silver and gold, we don't have. What we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." They were receiving this inheritance. They were receiving this hope. They were receiving this power. And it was active in their lives. It was real. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God. There is no other thing that will keep us. Only the power of God. So Peter and Paul are together on this. They want us to know about the hope that we have. They want us to know about the inheritance that we have. They want us to know about the power that we have. And all of these come out of the resurrection. I pray this morning that you might know those. If you don't know them, just tell God you don't know him. You want to know him. He knows that already. But he would like to hear you say it to him. And he would like you to want to know it. And he'd like you to come doing a little bit of seeking and wanting to know. You guys have that song ready? There's a song that kind of came to my mind as I was thinking on these things last night. It's a song that I love, and it's a song that really speaks about this whole thing. I'd like to have us just sit here and listen to it after I pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, this opportunity to gather together as your children this Easter Sunday. We thank you for resurrection. And Father, we've seen a little more clearly now why resurrection, why it's so important, how it's so central, how it's key to so many things in our Christian life and experience. And Father, we thank you that you are willing and even longing to take that resurrection power, the exact same power that raised Christ from the dead, and you want to put that in our mortal bodies. And Father, we don't know why, but we thank you that you want to. And we want to be available. We want to yield ourselves, dear Lord, and avail ourselves of that power. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and play that song.